Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Flash is back on the CW this month, continuing its 6th season. Co-star Victoria Park joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Positive human story. That's what SoulVision.tv began offering Friday via smart TV connected devices. Hear what's in adventures present and future from chairperson BK Fulton and vice chair Tim Reed. That's right, the Tim Reed on WTRP in Cincinnati and Frank's Place. You'll hear both of them after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, Lovelish's linear launch and our new classic trivia question with 2 book prizes in play. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum. I'm simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and live also on TuneIn Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free audiobooks and a special Presidents' Day offer when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 49 degrees at the top of the hour and a wonderful Presidents' Day afternoon to you and your family and friends. Welcome to the program All About Television. Great guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to spend some of your holiday with us and be interactive about it too. What you got to do is pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. The other way you get involved is our chat room, and we have somebody in the room already. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect those by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio screen. Follow the instruction. Other people can be live with you. Victoria Park from The Flash joins us live after these news notes. ABC-owned television stations in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and 5 other metropolitan areas have a new multicast channel in hand today. Localish presents unscripted series spotlighting local landmarks, trends, and inspiring people. The service uses a dedicated production team with contributions from participating stations and is advertised supported. Plans are in development to introduce Localish to other areas nationwide and get distribution among smart TV sets and connected devices. We'll have more on Localish Friday when ABC-owned TV stations president Wendy McMahon comes on for a rare live exclusive interview. That's Friday on our program. Now some quickies before we get to our first guest. ABC's latest season of American Idol began last night with 8 million viewers watching. NBC Sports Network will mark International Women's Day March 8th with a National Hockey League matchup using an all-female on-air and production team. And now its merger with Hasbro is complete. Entertainment One is working on several scripted live-action series based on the Toymakers brand catalog. Projected premiere 2021. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live, one of the co-stars of the very popular CW series The Flash, which is on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific time on stations all over the country, Victoria Park. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. Where are you calling us from on this present day?
I am home in L.A. right now.
Well, it's great to have you aboard. Thanks for spending some of your holiday time with us. How are things going with season 6 of The Flash?
Oh, it's been going awesome. We're a little ahead of, obviously, what's been airing, and so we are just starting episode 19. So we're almost done, and I think people are really going to like what happens in the second half of the season.
Well, let's talk about your character, Kamina Wang. How long has she been part of The Flash, and how did you get the role?
Yeah, Camilla had, I started on the show halfway through last season, season 5, and have been a part of it ever since. And, I got the role just through my agent, as I would get any other role, and it moved really, really quickly. I got the audition, I think, like on a Thursday, went in on Friday, got a call like an hour later that I was going into producers, went in on Monday, and then I think I was flying out by the end of the week for my first episode. So it's been a ride since then.
Did you anticipate that fast a ride that you would get a part so quickly after audition?
I'm sorry?
Did you expect that you would get the part so quickly after an audition? That is really fast. Fast turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, TV tends to move pretty quickly, this one was really fast, and especially because we film in Vancouver, and so I had to, pack all my things, get on a flight, and fly out. That was a little quicker than I was expecting, but it's definitely fun. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. We just had another person join our chat room, so welcome aboard. You have a question or a comment for Victoria, make the call, 646-652-2906, or put your thoughts in our chat room and we will get to it. For those people who have not seen The Flash, what is Camila Hawaiian White? What is your character like?
Yeah, if you haven't seen The Flash, she basically is dating one of the main characters in The Flash. His name is Cisco, and she's like a really fun addition to the team. I'd say she's kind of spunky and sassy. She's got a great sense of humor. She says things like it is, and she's also really smart, which you'll kind of see as the show develops. I think she's a great addition to the show. I'm really having fun playing her.
And you're the love interest of Cisco Ramon, Carlos Valdez, plays that character. How fast did you get a rapport with him and get a rapport as well with everybody else on the cast?
Yeah, I mean, everyone on the cast has been super welcoming. The first day that I worked on the show, I was a little nervous because, you know, they've been together for 5.5 seasons, and I'm just coming in as kind of the new kid in school, and so I was a little nervous, but Carlos was super welcoming. He made sure that I knew who everybody was. He made sure that everyone was being, you know, nice to me and everything, and I had a blast from my very first day. I worked with Carlos and Harley, and they were just very welcoming of me, and ever since then, I think everyone's just been, it's very welcoming, and we've all become friends, and it's been a really great cast to join.
When you get into a program like this, especially one that is already 5-6 seasons into its run, and already has a rhythm going in terms of the direction of the characters, the direction of the plot, how do you figure out your character? Did you get a lot of help from Greg Berlanti and his production crew, Greg Berlanti being the uber executive producer who's got, like, what, 18, 19 shows on the air, a lot of them on the CW, a lot of and other places too. But what kind of support did you get in terms of developing your character? How much was it left up to you? How much is it left up to whoever writers or directors you're working on any particular episode?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, before I auditioned, usually in the audition, they don't tell you much about the character because they don't want to give away any spoilers or anything. So all I knew was that, you know, she was meeting Cisco at a bar, and I didn't know where it was going to go or really anything about her, and they make up, you know, fake audition sites and everything. And so that was kind of all me. And then afterwards, after I got the role, I did a little bit of research on, you know, the show and the characters and things, but didn't really have to get too deep into it because, you know, Camila comes onto the show and she doesn't know The Flash. She doesn't know anybody. She doesn't know their history. So for me, that was really easy because I got to kind of create this character from scratch. And, you know, she didn't know anything and I didn't know anything, and that kind of worked to my advantage. So, you know, as the show's been going on, I've had a lot of help from obviously the writers, the directors, and Eric Wallace, the executive producer and showrunner of the show, about, you know, where the character is going and if I have any questions or anything like that. So definitely been a collaborative effort, but everyone's super supportive on the show.
Is this the first time that you have worked on a genre or a superhero show? And did you ever think you would do that compared to other things you did? We'll talk about that shortly. But did you ever think you would do that kind of show?
Yeah, I mean, it's my first time ever on a DC or superhero show at all. And I think, you know, I grew up loving, you know, superheroes and playing pretend and all that. So I think it's definitely been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. Any little kid would love to be a superhero when they grow up. So to be a part of a superhero show has been really, really fun, and I'm just enjoying it all the way through.
You're hearing Victoria Park. She's one of the co-stars of The Flash, now in its 6th season, Tuesday night, including tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station. Join us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live on the other end of the United States, namely New York, where it's 49 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us for this live President's Day edition of the program All About Television. We're coming your way on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio Live, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment, Victoria, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name. We've got a couple people in the room, so make your voices felt. We have a special 2-hour edition of our show coming your way next time we meet on Friday. And in our first hour, we'll have the executive producer, host, and choreographer of the brand new Disney Channel series, Disney Fam Jam, Bill Wright. You may know him from his parent jam events that he does all over the country. In our second hour, we'll kick it off with the executive producer of a new National Geographic miniseries that will be running later this month, narrated by Michelle Yeoh. It's called The Hidden Kingdom of China. And we'll speak with Ashley Hoffman, the executive producer. We also may have a producer who is on location in China putting it together. And as I mentioned earlier, we will have a special live exclusive interview with the president of ABC's own TV stations unit, Wendy McMahon. We'll talk about Localish, which premiered today on multicast channels in the 8 ABC stations, including WABC here in New York, KBC in Los Angeles, etc. And we'll also talk about what else the ABC-owned stations and ABC stations are doing in the world of plentiful television. That's Wendy McMahon from the ABC-owned stations unit. She is with us among our guests on Friday, 3 to ABC News Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. By the way, in the world of genre television, there are a lot of actresses named Park. There's Grace Park from Battlestar Galactica, more recent Y5O fame, Susan Park from Enterprise, one of the Star Trek spinoffs. I wonder if you ever have met other Parks who have done television and in your career.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was saying that one thing that I noticed, you know, your last name Park is very familiar for people who know genre television because you had Grace Park, the actress who was on Battlestar Galactica, more recently on Hawaii 5-0. There's Susan Park, who was one of the stars of Enterprise, the Star Trek spinoff with Scott Bakula, that was on UPN, which was a predecessor of the CW. And I'm wondering whether people, when they hear about you doing The Flash, they confuse you or they say, oh, do you know Grace Park? Do you know Susan Park? Do you know other Parks that are in the genre.
Yeah. Park is a pretty common last name, common Korean last name, and so I definitely get asked that a lot. I mostly get asked about Grace Park because I hear we kind of look alike, so people generally ask if we're related or if we know each other, and I don't know any of the other Parks in the industry, so it's always a fun question.
I met Grace a long time ago, I think when she was doing another series, also on Sci-Fi Channel. She was a wonderful person, terrific actress. She's had a terrific career and very grounded person. You can really tell that when you speak with her. She really, like, knows her stuff and, like, really knows what she wants to get out of life. She's really, really terrific. So, now, one thing also people know you for before The Flash is a series that I really admired for MTV sometime back called Sweet Vicious. And I wanted to know how you got involved with that series and how did you like working on that?
Oh, my gosh, that's a throwback. Sweet Vicious was awesome. I'm so sad that it only went one season. It was such a great show, such a great, topic and everything. And that was a fun show. It was, like, my first time on, you know, with my own series. And to be able to play comedy was amazing. And also, you know, obviously the topic that was covered was really important, and it's a shame that show didn't go further. That was a fun one.
Do people still talk to you about that?
From time to time, yeah, we definitely, it comes up every so often. I feel like it's a show that really is personal to a lot of people, and so every so often someone will say, oh, you know, Sweet Vicious meant a lot to me, and it was such a badass show, and things like that, but less and less as the years go on, because it's been several years now, so,
It was an outstanding show. I think it's one of MTV's best efforts ever in scripted television, and like you, I was really surprised it only ran a season, because it had a fanatical fan base. People who saw that show loved it, and I think it really made a difference for a lot of women.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an amazing show to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with acting? I understand that you were thinking also about getting into TV production or film production. You take some classes, and how did if you had a fork in the road between I want to be behind the scenes in television or film and I want to be on camera in film, what led you to the career you have now?
Yeah, well, I actually started on the other side of the camera in film production. That's what I majored in school, and I wanted to be a cinematographer or a director, and that's actually how I ended up in L.A., and then, I don't know, just luck would have it, I ended up in an acting class to try to, you know, meet some actors and, you know, see directing from an actor's perspective, and ended up falling in love with acting and focused on that for, oh man, the past 8 years, I would say. So now I'm, you know, coming up to 10 years soon, and I miss a lot about the other side of the camera, and I know there's a lot of people who do both, and so I think that would be my dream, to be able to pursue both and kind of go back and forth as I can.
What's your favorite, before Flash, what's been your favorite, and Sweet Vicious, what was your favorite role?
Ooh, I actually really like the role that I have right now, the Flash, and then my other favorite show that I always talk about is Sweet Vicious. So those two actually are my favorites, which makes me really happy that that those are usually the two shows that people resonate with the most as well.
We have another person that just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming on board. And you have a question or comment for Victoria Park, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. I also understand that you were involved in an organization called Wong Fu Productions, which has done some stuff
yeah.
on the web. Talk about how that was formed and how that contributed to your career.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a part of Wong Fu Productions. They, they're their own company, and I don't want to put rumors out there that I helped start it or anything like that. But they are a very instrumental company, a production company that has been huge, I think, in the Asian American community in particular. I know a lot of people have grown up with them, watching them on YouTube, and I've been very fortunate to work with them on a number of occasions, like. First, one of my first acting roles they gave me, my first lead in a feature they gave me, and more recently I've worked with them on like a couple sketches and a web series called Yappy. So I've worked with them for, I mean, the whole time I've been acting, 8 years, and they're a really great group of folks, and I'm really fortunate to have been able to work with them as much as I have.
You know, one of those actresses or actors that is able to weave not just in one type of program, but rather not stereotype yourself, like I'm a genre superhero person, I'm this or that, but you've done drama, you've done comedy with edge with a show like Sweet Vicious. How do you determine the path of your career, that these are the shows I want to do, or this is the material I want to work with, and sort of stay grounded so that, you know, you want to be as versatile as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every person, or maybe this is me in particular, but I feel like every person has so many different sides of their personality, and I think for me in particular, I tend to get bored pretty easily, so I'm always looking for something that's different. I love to make people laugh, so I always would love to do comedy forever and ever, but, you know, I'm drawn to a good storyline, and I'm drawn to characters that speak to me, and so if regardless of the genre, if there's something that I like, whether it's the storyline or the character, I'm usually just down to do it. I like to say yes to really anything.
We're talking about The Flash. It's the popular CW superhero show. It's on Tuesday night. That includes tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's back after a little bit of a hiatus in the middle of its sixth season on the CW. And we've got one of the co-stars, Victoria Park, with us. Grace Camille Wang on the program, and she's in her second year with the show. She was live now from Los Angeles this hour. On tomorrow will be televised. Happy with us, Ms. President's Day afternoon, wherever you may be. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We have a few more minutes with Victoria, and if you want to give her a call or get some thoughts across, well, make the call happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By the way, coming up our next half hour, we got our classic trivia question of the week, and we have two book prizes in store, and one of those books is the brand new one from the former co-star of In Living Color, Tommy Davidson, who was on this program in a special edition last Wednesday. The book is called Living in Color, What's Funny About Me by Kensington Books. It's a terrific book. If you haven't seen it yet, you ought to, and you got a chance to win it in our next half hour. So get your thinking caps ready. And by the way, our question is going to deal with The Flash, but in a very unusual way. Okay, more about that again in our next half hour. Victoria, have the producers of The Flash suggested that you are going to have a very big plot line coming up either later this year or next year? Because The Flash has been renewed for a seventh season.
Yes, we have been renewed for a seventh season, yay. And I have been talking to the producers and the writers about where Camilla's character is going to be going, but unfortunately I can't give that away because, you know, we can't give spoilers, but I think you can expect her to stick around for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any idea of going back to what you did behind the camera? Do you want to direct an episode of The Flash or an episode of the series sometime down the road?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely trying to focus more on directing this year, getting back into it, because I've been out of it for so long, and it would be a dream to direct on The Flash or, you know, any other of the Arrowverse shows, so hopefully I get the chance to do that.
In the meantime, are there any other roles you're looking at doing, either as one-shots of a specific series, or do you want to develop a show of your own at some point?
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I'm not looking to develop a show of my own at this point, though. I guess nothing is out of possibility. But right now, you know, it's pilot season, so just auditioning for a lot of different shows. I would love to, like I said earlier, I love working on comedy, so I'd love to be a part of a comedy series, like a, you know, fun workplace comedy series or something. So hopefully something will come to fruition, and, you know, we'll see.
Before we leave you, it was last Sunday night that Parasite won the Academy Award for Best Picture, the first foreign language or film produced in another country in a different language than English that won the Academy Award. It sort of leaped over the hurdle, finally did, plus it won Best Director, Best Script, and also the foreign language, or as they call it now, the initial promo award. And I'm curious if you had a chance to see Parasite, and if not, what were your thoughts anyway about the fact that here is an Asian or an Asian American that is winning the big prize in the film?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Parasite pretty early on, like right after it won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and was completely blown away. Bong Joon-ho is one of my favorite directors. I've been following him from the beginning, and I've always loved him, and so I thought this was his best film, and I just had a feeling it was going to go all the way. But, you know, of course, you're a little jaded because there's never been an international film that's won Best Picture, and I had hopes, but I wasn't sure. And so to see this film win, I mean, I think it's so well-deserved to see, you know, a Korean director, all Korean cast, you know, in Korean, and then being a Korean actor myself, it felt super personal to me, and I think it's just so well-deserved. I couldn't have, you know, known any other international film that could have done it. And so I'm really excited. I'm really excited that the Academy recognized such a great movie, and I'm excited for the doors that this will open for international film and hopefully for Asian cinema and Asian American actors.
And we should point out that HBO is working with Bong Joon-ho to do an American version of Parasite that would follow or update or sort of expand upon the film. And also to point out that something else that he's very well known for, the cult film Snowpiercer, is becoming a TNT series after a long time of development. That's premiering in May on TNT. I've seen clips of the show. It's very diverse, and I think it's going to be a really exciting show, particularly with Graham Mattson, the co-creator of Orphan Black, behind the camera and overseeing that show. At some point, do you want to be an entrepreneur of television? Because we're now seeing more and more Asian Americans really think big, as well as people of color think big and launch production companies, launch ventures like Byron Allen with Entertainment Studios, or Tyler Perry, or John Chu with what he's done since created Eight, or Dan Liu with Right Back with his special TV incubator, where he's trying to bring more people of color involved in television. At some point, do you want to be an entrepreneur and try to sort of bring the next generation of diverse TV makers along?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I'm thinking about for the near future, but I definitely think that would be a far-off dream of mine. I think it's so important for people of color to be in those positions, to be green-lighting those projects, because otherwise who's going to do it for us? And so that would definitely be a dream of mine, and I hope that I'll be able to do that.
Well, in the meantime, we've got The Flash. Season 6 continues tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific time on the CW. And that's where you can check Victoria Park and her character and the rest of the cast and crew on that series, which is produced by Warner Brothers and executive produced by Greg Berlanti. Check your local news to the CW station in your area, including WPX here in New York. And for more details about the program online, you can go to www.cwtv.com. It's www.cwtv.com. The Flash, continuing Season 6 tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Victoria Park, thank you again for joining us. All the very best to you and everybody involved for a great rest of your sixth season. Congrats on the seventh season, and all the very best to wherever your career heads. It's been a delight to have you on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Victoria. Take care. All the greatest.
Have a good one.
Victoria Park from The Flash, joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Televised coming your way with First and Words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for some unique listening, how about trying out a very interesting firefighter tale that's recently come out at Audible.com called Things You Save in a Fire by Catherine Center. I promise you, it's a very different kind of firefighting story. It's not just your Chicago Fire or Rescue Me kind of thing. And here's the great news. You can listen to it right now for a trial subscription at Audible.com. And there's a special presentation offer attached. If, from your trial, you decide today to make it a four-month subscription, you will save off the per-month price. That's right, save off the per-month price. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 100,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device and whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeart Radio. And if you sign up for a one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised, you don't just get one free audio book, you get three, including two from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. I talk the original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater from around the country, and great one-woman and one-person, one-man shows. So it's all for one-month trial, plus a great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself today, this President's Day, how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. With three free audio books and the opportunity today to get a reduced monthly subscription, which saves you a lot off the price, go to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised today. When we come back, we are going to have our classic trivia question of the week in our next half hour. And this time we have two prizes in play, both books. We have The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins, the popular author and syndicated talk show host. And now we have from Tommy Davidson, the co-star of In Living Color, which marks the 30th anniversary of its founding on Fox. This coming April, we've got his new book, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. Tommy was on our program last Wednesday, and if you want to hear that episode, as well as other recent editions of our show, or live television, here's where you go, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out on podcasts at iTunes, at Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, as well as TuneIn.com and at iHeartRadio.com. When it comes to those latter two websites, all you got to do to get our show is go to the homepage, click in Tomorrow We Televise on the search bar, either at TuneIn.com or iHeartRadio.com, make the click, and you get our shows off the bat. And we'd love to hear what you think about our shows, too. So why not email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, as well as find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. I do return social media and email inquiries in 24 hours, and we definitely would like to hear from you. And we have a bunch of new people in our chat room, so thanks for coming aboard. Before we get to the people from Soul Vision TV, if you have questions or comments for our guests in the next half hour, put them in the room or give us that call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll find out more about the new programming service that launched on Valentine's Day. It's all about positive human stories, soulvision.tv. B.K. Fulton, the overseer and chairperson of the venture, and vice chair, and yes, you know him, actor Tim Reed. They will both be with us live in our next half hour, right after we pause at the bottom of this hour. Web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneInRadio.com. You're home for the best internet radio on the planet. BTR and Spreaker, along with TuneIn, reach over 40 million listeners around the world every month with outstanding radio for you. And when it comes to BTR and Spreaker, don't forget, coming tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, it's Madame Perry Salon. It's Great Talk with guest actress Leanna Heiberg. That's Madame Perry Salon tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, you can find the best of BTR and Spreaker 24/7 at YouTube.com. Well, we're going to do the second half of Tomorrow We Tell Lies on this President's Day afternoon, 2020. Simon Abel with you live from New York. Delighted you're along for the ride. Great guests coming away in the half hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. So make the call, 646-652-2906, or join in our chat. We got quite a few people just coming in the last 5 minutes, so we're delighted to have you aboard. So put your in the room. It's Blog Talk Radio, by the way. It's Simon Abel 04. My name is where the room is found, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So be in the conversation. We would love to have you aboard. This past Valentine's Day, a.k.a. Friday, a new plumbing service appeared on smart TV connected devices like Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. It's called SoulVision.tv. Joining us live from Richmond, Virginia, is the one of the key founders and the chairperson of the venture, B.K. Bolton. B.K., great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you, Simon. Love your show.
Thank you very much, BK. And joining both of us live is someone who is a very familiar face in the world of television, one of the stars of WKRP in Cincinnati, also the star and guiding force behind a wonderful series that ran 2 years and should run more on CBS called Fresh Place. He and his wife, Jackie Master Reed, did a production deal with a wonderful studio that lasted a good long time called Blue Millennium. It is a pleasure to welcome on this program for the first time the vice chair of SoulVision.tv, actor Tim Reed. Tim, it is a delight to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And BK, we'll start with you. First of all, what's been the reaction to SoulVision TV so far?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. It's a pleasure to be able to be out there for our fans in this way. When we launched on the television platforms, it was cool, but I had no idea that the mobile platforms would really take off. So we're making sure that we continue to turn up the heat with all kinds of programs telling positive human stories.
Tim, how long have you thought about jumping in with this venture? What about it? What about BK's vision for this said to you, I got to be involved?
Well, as you know, the last frontier for people who want to have a say in television content is distribution. And I had been in the studio business for a while, and I was looking for a way to get more involved in taking my content to the world. And streaming is, of course, the new trend. And I was going to do one myself until I heard about what BK was doing. I thought, well, you know, let me just focus on what I do best, which is create content and partner with BK.
Tell us how BK SoulVision got started. This came out of a vision that you feel that with all the channels that we have, and we are in a world of plentiful TV, smart TV, diverse TV, interactive TV now, that you find a lot of it is very negative, crime-ridden, drama, violence-ridden. You explain the vision.
Yes, we're in a 500-channel world, and there's so much stress in it with crime, with violence. You turn on the TV, and instead of this blueprint for success, you often get this these shows that make you need therapy. And we were like, wait a minute, we're better than that. I mean, everything isn't always rosy, but there's a lot of good news out there. There are a lot of good stories out there. And now that we're in this new frontier, we don't have to ask for permission to tell those stories. So we started with the magazine, SoulVision Magazine, about a year ago with the same hypothesis. Let's tell positive stories. We reached out to our friends, Quincy Jones, Stevie Wonder, Deborah Martin Chase, Adam Leipzig. We even reached out to the founder of Netflix, Mark Randolph, and he was on the cover of our magazine. Tim was in our magazine. And we said, okay, this is working really well. We're in our second year of the magazine. About 6 months in on the magazine, we said, hey, I think we can bring this to TV. The barriers of entry are lower if we do a streaming service. And so let's partner with some content creators. Let's bring in an established coach, mentor, leader like Tim to help to guide us. Let's bring in some young folks. We brought in a guy that worked with Martin Scorsese, Q Martin. We brought in a guy who worked with Spike Lee, Monty Ross. We brought in a superstar student from VCU, Nick Powell, and we went for it. And now we're available to over 500 million people out of the gate, and it's exciting.
Jim, what's the secret to assembling all this talent and having them behind both of your visions, really a collective vision here?
Well, you have to give them an opportunity to tell the kind of stories that they want to tell. I mean, you know, actors love to act, but they really enjoy acting in things that say a little bit about their culture, about their lives. And that's what I think, you know, for me, my interest for the last 10 years have been documentaries around the world. And I tell you, you find these incredible stories. You know, it's not everything doesn't have to be done by BBC. So that's what my focus has been. And then when you know, I have this library of documentary content, and it's time to do more of that. There are rich stories to be told. That's what people want to hear and see. That is a good story well told. If you give that to people, they'll watch, they'll follow you, and will make you rich, actually. But that's the hardest thing to do now because there's so many people in the business. You know, the invention and technology has taken and made it open to everyone. I mean, whether it be YouTube or whatever, anyone with an iPhone is a producer, director. And so you've got to raise your content level up. You've got to, you know, you got to find your niche and you got to keep producing.
We're talking about SoulVision.tv. It's one of the newest programming services on the air. It started on Valentine's Day last Friday. It's available on Apple TV, on Roku, on Amazon Fire TV. Soon to come to other smart TV sets and smart devices and all sorts of other places as well. And we've got the two key people who are making it happen. Chairperson, D.K. Fulton, and actor and now vice chairman of this venture, Tim Reed. They both join us live from Richmond, Virginia on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and I are with you live from New York. Live to listeners, President's Day afternoon 2020. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Be interactive with us at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, among our guests in a special two-hour edition, we'll have the executive producer, host, and choreographer of the new Disney Channel series, Disney Fam Jam, premiering later this month, Phil Wright. Then in our second hour, we'll kick it off with the executive producer of a new National Geographic two-part special, narrated by Michelle Yeoh, that premieres later this month, The Hidden Kingdom of China. Executive producer Ashley Heppen will be with us. We also have a producer who did a lot of on-location work in China. And our final guest in another interview, exclusive interview, the president of ABC on TV stations, Unit Wendy McMahon, whose latest venture, Localish, premiered today on the 8 ABC on stations as a multicast channel. And it's a very exciting venture as well. Incidentally, we did a story about it that appeared last week in Media Village, the Media Leadership website. Check it out at MediaVillage.com. Tim, what are some of the programming highlights so far on Soul Vision?
Big pardon? I didn't hear you. So what now?
What are some of the programs, the new programming people can see on Soul Vision right now?
Oh,
well,
yeah. So
course,
we have go ahead.
Go ahead, DK.
Yeah,
we've got a
food program called Eat Sip Social, and it's a cooking show with healthy eating, and then another show, which is a reality show called Food for the Rich, and it's not about money. It's about healthier, better food. We've got shows for seniors on dealing with health issues. We have tent poles, what we call our tent poles. We have actual movies, River Runs Red, Atone, that are feature-length films that are on the network. We also have some cartoons for kids. We'll be adding additional programming. I mean, Tim's working on some fabulous stuff, too. In addition to the archive that he's sharing, Tim, you want to share some of the other stuff you're going to bring to SoulVision.tv?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to be bringing some reality-based programming, some history-based programming. One of the shows that I'm bringing is one that I'm doing called Legacy of the People, which is an international documentary format. I call it a talkumentary. So it's sort of a talk show folded into a documentary format. And we've done 5 episodes of that. We're going to do more. I just got back from Ethiopia where we were shooting some material over there. We also, I'm launching a show in the fashion world called Salome Styles, which will also be on the network. We're going to be doing another show, sort of a CSI history show called Historian in Heels, a young lady who is a very well-known history archivalist out of Atlanta. So, and we're going to be putting up a few pilots. I'm showing one pilot called Blues in the Night, and we're going to see what people think about it. And if they think about it, we'll make more. So we'll probably be launching at least two or three pilots within the next 6 months of some of the shows, just the pilot format, and the people can judge and decide if that's something they want to see beyond that episode.
What's Blues in the Night all about?
Blues in the Night is one of my, you know, I've been in the business a long time, and I've had the pleasure of working with so many different kind of artists. But in the music side, I've been befriended a lot of music people who just sort of float out on the fringe of entertainment, and they work these clubs. And I was fascinated by a story about a young woman who was trying to break into the business and all of the problems and challenges that reach her life. So Blues in the Night follows this young singer. And we follow her as she goes from clubs and what she has to deal with to try to break into business. And it can get kind of interesting, to say the least. So we've done the pilot. We'll show that. And we already have two other scripts ready to go if people seem to like it. And the woman,
BJ,
by the way, can actually sing.
Got it. And I sound like a great, I mean, Blues Night, great song. She'll make a great, great show. And we'll see how they go.
Yeah.
And BK, in terms of the format of the overall network, you want it to be a mix of scripted, unscripted, animated shows, talk, all different genres, or are you going to be focusing as time goes on a particular, like, do more scripted or do more unscripted?
Well, yes to all of that. So here's the deal and the wonderful thing about producing and launching a network with today's technology. We can actually get real-time feedback from our audience, and we'll give them more of what they ask for. What tends to be trending now is authenticity. And so typically that means unscripted shows that represent pieces of the real world that our audience can relate to. We'd like to also expand reach to more international shows, and Tim's going to be bringing the heat with some of that. I think that at the end of the day, our scripted stuff will largely be movies, long form, and short. Part of the reason we include short forms is that people are accessing soulvision.tv on their phones a lot, and what that means is that they might be, you know, in a parking lot or set a charging their car or in line at a store, and they just want to see something quick. And being able to watch something in 5 minutes is preferable to having to find time for an hour-long show on a phone. That said, with today's technology, you can sling stuff to a larger TV at home. And so we wanted to make sure that we were ready for whatever people wanted to see, wherever they wanted to see it.
Real T, by the way, just joined our chat room a few minutes ago. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment for BK or Tim, you can either make the phone ring, 646-652-2906, or put your thing in the room, and as soon as we get it, we will consider it and maybe bring it to everybody on the air. We know that there are a lot of film festivals out there where you can go after product. We just had a Sundance Film Festival where everybody was like going for product for seeing on Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, and so forth. But we also have a lot of talent that's surfacing at TV festivals all over the country, like Series Fest in Denver, like Catalyst in Duluth, Minnesota. There's the ATX Festival in Austin, Texas, ATV in Atlanta. We have the New York Television Festival right now is in limbo. Hopefully we'll come back this year. Are there any plans to try to commission work from some of the people who are exhibiting TV series pilots, let's say, at places like this, or using things like Sundance's Episodic Laboratory? Or I mentioned Ryback in our first half hour, Dan Lin's company that is now doing trying to sell new series from talent that are growing there. Or Imagine Impact, which is trying to sell new shows that they are incubating people in.
Absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is, there's more content that's produced than actually distributed through the traditional networks. With these over-the-top and streaming services, we're able to use modern technology to give more producers, more content creators a chance. So we've strategically partnered with some film festivals, and actually they can offer distribution on our network as part of a prize for winners of their festivals, runner-ups. There's a ton of good content. I mean, I was surprised. We had a professor at the Haas School in Berkeley, and who's a film finance professor, and he shared these interesting statistics that there are roughly 10,000 films made a year, and only 2 to 4% actually get distribution. So you can imagine if we add shorts to it and other content, it's probably 4 or 5 times that amount. But 2 to 4% distribution means most things do not get seen. So what we're doing is becoming really particular content curators that feed our audience, and we've decided to focus on the more positive, uplifting stories because that's what our data tells us our audience wants.
Kid BK was mentioning a moment ago that a lot of this network is going to be predicated on what viewers want and the ability to get data, to get information back from your viewers in real time. Any thoughts on maybe doing interactive programming? Let's say inviting viewers to call into a live show or participate in some sort of a live drama or a live game show or a live unscripted show where they have an opportunity to express themselves.
Well, I don't know. That's, you know, the technology is moving so quickly. With 5K, I think 5G, I think we'll be able to do just about any of that. But technically, you know, it is still very, very expensive and convoluted to make all of that happen at one time. Right now, I think that for as me as a content creator is concerned, I'm looking for ways to get my content out before the people. And I think also, it's wonderful to have all this content, but we also have to have a revenue stream so that the people who create this stuff can make enough money to keep creating stuff. That's the formula that has to be created as well. You know, I come from the creative side, so and content creating side. So I'm always looking for ways, how do we, especially internationally, how do we take some of these international filmmakers who have pretty sizable audiences and make it so that they can earn some money from this and not always have to go through those people who just gobble up their intellectual property rights and not allow them to build a library of any kind where they can finance this stuff. So we're going to work that out as well, and I think once we get up and are moving in that direction, that we'll get not only people from festivals, but we'll get filmmakers who already have created material. Everybody's looking for money to do it. But there are a lot of people out there who are actually creating really interesting programming, and they've financed, they've taken their mama's money, their uncles, their dentists, and they're creating some interesting work. Where does it go? And we hope to be a place where it finds a home for a lot of those people.
BK, is the network ad-supported, and have you started to get interest from advertisers? If it is ad-supported, are you getting interest from advertisers and being part of it?
Yes, it is. It is ad supported, and we are getting some traction. We've already got enough traction to cover our first year of programming, so I'm excited about that. And then as we get more market share and get more eyeballs, pull in more international audience, I think we'll be able to get even more advertisers. And at some point, then we, as Tim kind of hinted, we can try some of the new show formats. I love the idea of interacting, getting some feedback from our audience, and then maybe 2 or 3 shows out, based on audience feedback, there's a twist or a wrinkle, and so we may have some time to do some of that, particularly with some of the short programming. I know we're thinking about a kind of reality show based on some of the meetings inside our production company to give people a look at what it takes to create the kind of stuff that we create. I mean, we have a whole enterprise that's doing books, movies, this TV network, working with festivals, working with international players. And so when you think about Richmond, Virginia, which was recently named one of the top places to do movie making, you know, people say, wow, you guys are doing that from Richmond? I would have thought New York or Hollywood. And in today's world, you can really be anywhere and produce quality content.
Mm-hmm. One of the shows that you started with that I was curious about was a cartoon called The Walkers. Timothy, can you talk about that series? And are you also hearing from animation producers about doing stuff for you?
Sure. The Walkers is a fun story about this family, and they have a health challenge. and they kind of go through this series about how they deal with health issues and family issues. It's cool. Actually, a friend who's an actual real-world doctor produced the show, and it's one of those things that hadn't received distribution, so we were able to distribute it through our network, and so we're excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. Tim, as somebody who has been in this field for as long as you have, you've seen how we are seeing this explosion of what I call, mm-hmm. some call peak TV, I call plentiful TV. And you are now seeing,
yes.
all sorts of services. They're using smart TV sets and devices and smartphones to get to viewers like yours, like Localish, which premiered today. You're seeing more and more people of color launch production companies. I mentioned the last half hour. You're seeing people like Tyler Perry and Byron Allen broaden their horizons, where they're now not only doing programs, they're owning television stations, or they're owning production complexes, as they are in Atlanta or other or Los Angeles or other places. What do you think about this era that we're in, where there's just so many opportunities for people of color now to get involved with television?
Well, it's moving fast. That's all I can say. It is an amazingly rapid change that will find its center soon, I'm sure. But right now, it is almost moving too fast to comprehend. And with 5G coming up and what's going to happen with that, I'm more focused right now on the international market in places like Ethiopia and Nigeria and Uganda and the other places, because they are creating an industry. And what's wonderful about being a part with someone like in Ethiopia, you're watching the industry develop from the bottom up, from the beginning. And so they're going to take advantage of some of the mistakes that other markets that have started emerging have made. So I think the future for television now is global. It's not just 40 million black people in America. It is the African diaspora. There's 100 million people in Ethiopia, the second largest black country, black population in one country in the world. That's a sizable audience. If you get 0.5% of that, you can have a successful business. It's a global world now, so we have to, as content creators, we have to be more focused on reaching beyond our set ethnic groups. We have to think in general of what's going on in the world. We have to be a bit wiser about how we put our content out there and be more niche-oriented as to who we're making the stuff for. And that's what I see the streaming services doing, is giving us an opportunity to test and try things. And if you find an audience, you'll do well.
Yeah, Tim's absolutely right. One of our most popular shows is called Being 98, and it's actually about a 98-year-old white woman. And then there's another show, Ed's Story, about a white pastor with ALS and how he deals with the illness. And so at the end of the day, we're going to help people with Soul Vision TV to get out of these traditional pockets. People ask me usually, hey, what's your demographic? And I said, we're telling positive human stories. And it crosses ages, it's intergenerational, and it's going to make people get up off the couch and want to engage in life and enjoy all of their quality time remaining. And I think if we can do that with soulvision.tv, and as Tim said, be profitable, then we can keep this going.
And right now you can find soulvision.tv on Apple TV, on Roku, on Amazon Fire, on mobile. It will be coming to the other smart TV connected devices, and will also be coming available to smart TV sets as well. And we'll keep you posted on that. And we will see how it goes. In the meantime, if you have any of those TV tech devices I talked about, you can tune in right now to soulvision.tv. And for more details online for everybody, here's where you go, soulvision.tv. Soulvision.tv, simple as that. Premiered on Valentine's Day, and hopefully in the running for a great, great long run with a lot of expanded original programming to come. BK Fulton, Tim Reed, thank you both very, very much for coming. Congratulations on getting this network off the ground. Hopefully there's going to be a great run in store. Hopefully it will make the difference for a lot more people getting involved in television to create more original programming that really inspires everybody. And Tim, when Blues of the Night is ready to go on, please let me know. I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about it. I really hope that this pilot becomes a series. We'd like to do anything to make it possible. And also,
okay.
open invitation. If you come to New York for Upfront or New Front Week, which is coming up in late April, early May, please let me know. I'd love to have the chance to meet you both in person.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, BK and Tim. Thank you both for coming on. Take care. Enjoy.
You too.
BK Fullen and Tim Reed joining us live from Richmond, Virginia with SoulVision.tv on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now it's time for our Cracker Trivia Question of the Week. First, let's give you the answer to our question over the last 2 weeks. What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? The answer, Roxy Roker. In the early 1970s, she was a co-host here at WAW-TV Channel 5 at WNYW, doing a series called Inside Bedford-Stuyvesant, one of the few local programs on any station all over the country dealing with a specific neighborhood on a regular basis. It was taped on location, Bedford-Stuyvesant, here in Brooklyn. It was very well done. Used to catch it a lot. Really enjoyed Roxy and her co-hosts doing their thing. And it was from that situation that she got into acting, often on Broadway, and then, of course, her big role on The Jeffersons. So Roxy Roker was our answer. Now time for our new classic trivia question. If you first get the correct answer, you will win two book prizes. The five-second rule, by Mel Robbins, the author and syndicated talk show host, and from Tommy Davidson, one of the original cast members of Living Color, who was on this program last Wednesday, his new book, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. On our first half hour, we had Victoria Park from The Flash, now in its 60s on the CW. But there was an earlier live-action version of The Flash that ran for one season, 1991 on CBS, also produced by Warner Brothers. Why didn't it run longer? The Cosby Show and The Simpsons were both up against it. Here's the question. Who played The Flash on TV in 1990? Who played The Flash on TV in 1990? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. If you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. Soon you may become our next trivia winner. And, of course, all the very best. Thank you to all of our guests for being here on this President's Day afternoon. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Be with us on Friday, big two-hour edition. We'll have, among others, Phil Rice, the executive producer, host, and choreographer of the new Disney Channel series, Disney Fam Jam, premiering later this month. From the Hidden Kingdom of China, new National Geographic two-part miniseries, narrated by Michelle Yeo, executive producer Ashley Hippen. And in a live exclusive and rare interview, the president of the ABC on TV stations, Wendy McMahon, talking about Localish, which premiered earlier today on those stations at the Multicast channel, and much, much more. Remember, if you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while you're at it, check out our podcast, especially those of you that are joining us for the first time today. You can find it at iTunes, Apple TV, Speaker Podcast app, of course, TuneIn.com, TuneIn Radio, and the IR Radio Podcast Network at IRRadio.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our guests today? What shows us where our TV app is at and where it's going? Love to hear. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon, CWET. As always, we love hearing from you, and we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But three free audiobooks and a President's Day offer are still in effect until the end today, where you can get a reduced per-month subscription price. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your President's Day weekend and week ahead. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, big 2-hour edition. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Unit Radio, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Remember, whatever you're up to the rest of today and the week, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.